what we focus on expands, mm-hmm. right? So I tell people all the time, I use this analogy. If you want something to go away, starve it.
Yes.
If you don't feed it, it's going to what?
It's going to die.
Nothing that is not eating can exist. So if you give it food, energy, talk, posts on social media, phone calls, text messages, it's going to grow.
Yes.
But if you starve it, it's going to die. We have a professional actor and someone who's never filmed. This should be fun.
You won't be able to tell at all.
Really? Like gaffers and like cameras this size. I have literally never recorded.
There's a first time for everything.
Here we are. Welcome, my people, to episode 21 of Tay's Tidbits. A little bit different today. No Hove, still love him. That is not going to change. Quick funny story. I just put a picture of Biggie up in my bedroom.
What?
And I do not have a picture of Jay-Z in my bedroom. So I feel like I got kicked out of, I can't be a Hovenger anymore, I think. Anyway, so yes, I am very, very blessed to be here with my good friend today. This is Lisa.
Hi.
Lisa is all things magical. She does not need an introduction. You guys will see and hear everything that she is in a few minutes. But she is a great friend of mine, and she just happens to be a professional in this world, all things beauty and cameras and entrepreneurship. And so all of this is just divine. Okay. We'll get into it in the episode, but welcome back. Thank you for coming back. I know it's been months. We'll talk about it. I love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. If you are still listening, thank you. If you're in the States, if you're overseas, wherever you're listening from, I love you for listening. And this is Tay's Tidbits. We're going to get right into this episode.
Shantae and I have been talking a lot about self-love, her journey through the last couple of years, my journey through the last couple of years, and how we've both gone through massive, massive changes and the experiences that we've had that have started shaping us into who we are and how we approach the world. One thing I have to point out, first of all, is we are wearing merchandise from Tay's show. It's Tay's Tidbits.
Yes, Tidbits. I'm adjusting my bra on camera. So there's that.
Okay, so one thing I do at the top of my show is give my audience an opportunity to get to know you. And so is there something that you can tell the audience about yourself that is a little known fact or something that maybe only your close friends know that would help them know you a little bit better?
Okay.
Ooh, she came up with that fast.
Yes, I thought about it. Little known fact. If you did not know me personally, you would think that I was extremely confident. Would you say?
She is. She is confident.
Just, you know. Sometimes you gotta fake it till you make it. I'm saying that to say, it strikes me as very odd. It's always been one of those things that I could not wrap my head around. When I would ask someone, like, just name one thing that you know, a quality about me. And people are like, you're so confident. And I'm like, really? Because I didn't feel that way on the inside. And we'll get to that. But I am amazed that outwardly, that's a word, outwardly, people would never know that I was who I was on the inside. So that's a little tidbit.
Boom.
That I don't think, just that, like, if I was to meet someone today and go, like, forward without them knowing any background or history, they would never believe that I struggled the way that I did, I don't think.
Yeah.
But even before I got to this place, people would tell me, And I think it's because I'm very bold in my speech. Mm-hmm. And that's because I read a lot of books growing up. So words have never been my issue. So I do feel like I speak well, but that's because I'm confident in my ability to put words together. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily confident as a woman, or wasn't. But other than that, I am a mother of two. I have two daughters. I still think God was really funny with that. And I am originally from New Jersey, and I've been here in the metro Atlanta area for, oh my goodness, next month will be 12 years.
Wow.
12 years. And I love it here. I love raising my children here. It's a great, great place. Yeah, that's it. I'll be 40 next month.
Woo-woo! Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
Hey. Club 40, baby.
Yes. I'm excited. I am really excited.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. That's me.
Okay, cool.
And so you, Lisa, please let my listenership know who you are.
Okay, and first of all, so you guys understand what's going on, we are doing a cross-promoted episode between Tay's Tidbits and the In Session podcast. So we're going to pitch it back and forth a little bit about ourselves and our experiences and trying to do this less interview style and more conversation style. We feel this is a universal issue that so many of us deal with, no matter what you like to listen to as far as podcast goes, or music, or anything. It's just a universal issue. So that's what we're doing here. So if you see the pitching back and forth, that's what we're up to, guys.
If I look awkward, it's because I am.
Well, just to let you guys know who I am, my name is Lisa Wilson. I've lived in Atlanta for roughly 16 years, and I also love it here. I am divorced, and I have no children, but I do have a dog. I come from a really wonderful, loving family in Rome, Georgia. I've got three siblings and two amazing parents who are still together. Hooray! Isn't that amazing?
Marriage is great.
It is. Marriage is a really wonderful thing. Even though we're both divorced, we
you
both still...
You have cute nephews.
I do. God, they're so cute. Oh, they're so cute. They're like scrumptious.
One of them stole her whole face.
He looks like my child.
He does look like...
Oh my gosh, when he gets in trouble and I'm around, my little brother screams, "Lisa, come get your child."
Come here, baby.
It's so funny. It's so funny. He even has my personality. Look out, world.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, for work, Shantae's told you a little bit about it. I am an actress. I'm a voiceover artist. I narrate audiobooks in random times. And I also do a little bit of marketing. I do content creation. So a little bit of everything. And it primarily lives in the space of on camera and production. I have been doing that since...
I mean, look at this face.
I've been doing it since I was in high school. So yeah, so that's me in a nutshell.
That is you. That was modest.
I love this girl.
Like, she's about to do a movie, you guys. She's leaving on Saturday to film a movie that she is the lead in. But okay, I will allow you to be modest. I don't use the word humble on my show because I'm not. And you're not. We're not. We're great. But she is an amazing human being. One of... the most genuine, kind-hearted, long-suffering people I have ever met. It's too early to cry. We're not. We're not. But no, seriously, I thank her all of the time just for being who she is. Not only to me, but just in the world, because you're very rare. There's not many people like her.
Thank you.
No.
I love you.
Not at all.
Okay, so we've all been there. We've all had experiences that have taken us to dark places in our lives. Shantae and I have both gone through many, many experiences that have taken us to rock bottom. And finding our way back has been a fight. It has been a series of determined decisions to just consistently show up in ways that radically changed the outcome of our lives. And I really do believe that that happens whenever you make small steps. You take small steps towards a big goal, because if you're looking at the big picture and you're focusing on where you're not yet, then it keeps you from being able to get there, because you're too distracted by all the things, and it can get really overwhelming. And especially if you're not in the best headspace, then it can take you down. So I want to talk a little bit about rock bottom moments. I know one of my own was, since we mentioned marriage, was the season of my life when my marriage was falling apart. And I lost myself within that space. And it was my own fault for letting myself go there and not really understanding what was happening over time, of how I was sacrificing my boundaries. I was sacrificing the things that were important to me. In those small series, it's like one decision at a time that takes you to the place of eventually not being whole. And this is why boundaries are so important, because boundaries not only protect you, but they protect your partner. They protect the relationship, because if one person is violating themselves so much that they are constantly allowing the situation to not benefit them and not honor them, their needs, then it is a fast track to ruin in a relationship. And I know that that was part of my contribution to the dissolution of my marriage. And it's something that I had to work really hard to come back from, and accepting what I had done to myself and really trying to like relearn how to love myself and see my value. So for me, it was a daily practice, a daily choice of, I am going to sit in the floor every single night, and I'm going to meditate, and I'm going to allow the negative thoughts to flow through and not take hold of me anymore. I'm going to acknowledge them and let them move on. They're not me. I'm not my mind. And that was one of the first things that I did, that was a practice that I put into place every single night, that started to move me towards having a much better sense of self and a much better knowing of what worked for me and what didn't. I think that we all have this unique structure, this unique makeup that really is like all of the nuts and bolts that make us work, right? And so if you're not aware of what makes you tick, you have to get really quiet and start investigating and asking yourself questions. Ask the right questions. You should start asking, what is it that you like, instead of, does the world accept me? And whenever you start doing that, then you put yourself in a position to be accepted as you are, and the right people will start coming into your life.
Yeah, I have so many things I want to say just based on that little bit that you said. So many things were coming to my head as you were speaking. And the one thing that I can say, and a lot of this may be a bit redundant for my audience, as I have spoken about some of these things over the course of the first 20 episodes. But you guys, listen, this show is to promote self-love. I'm not going to stop doing it. I'm not going to stop talking about it. I'm not going to stop telling you to love yourself and to treat yourself well, and that you deserve the best and that you're enough. That is what the premise of this show is. That concept changed my whole life in a very radical way. So it is what we will be discussing. So there's that. I will say that as you were speaking, I was reflecting over my life and just kind of maybe like the last 15 years. My children are the reason why I have done a lot of the things and made a lot of the decisions that I've made. If I'm being honest, I did not have the fortitude and the wherewithal to care about myself enough. But I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that they could not live a life of turmoil and trauma and anything like that. So even when I was making decisions to walk away from people, you know, walk away from my marriage, whatever it was with them at the forefront of my mind. And I know people say that, right? Like, oh yeah, you know, whatever, you know, you do things for your children. But no, they literally saved my life, because I don't know that if I did not have them, I would have been able to make decisions that were best for me. So they acted as a catalyst to a lot of the changes that I made. I didn't love myself enough to walk away from my marriage. I walked away from my marriage because I didn't want that to be an example of love for my daughters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's all I really knew. That's all I knew. I was like, I don't want them to think that this is normal. I don't want them to think that this is okay, that, you know, that they're two people who just really aren't on the same page. I want them to see like healthy, bountiful, beautiful love and interactions, not like, okay, well, you know, mom and dad don't really talk much. you know, doesn't seem like they like each other too much. They aren't really, you know, friendly. And shout out to my ex-husband. He's a great person. You guys know how I feel about him. He's an amazing man. But as far as love went and our relationship, it wasn't passionate. It wasn't, and I didn't want that to be an example for them. Literally, that was it. That was it. It wasn't like I had like this epiphany where I was just like, I deserve better. No, I mean, I did. There were things that I thought about, but that wasn't enough to motivate me to leave.
Yeah.
It was them. And because they're girls and because I'm their example and because I don't get another chance.
Yeah.
You know, like my oldest will be 17 in November. Like, she's almost grown. Like, I don't get another opportunity to instill certain things in her and to show her what it looks like to put yourself first and to love yourself and to not let people devalue you. Mm. Regardless of what the situation is, whether it's a relationship, a friendship, a job, or, you know, I knew no matter what, as I was journeying along and figuring it out, that they were enough.
Yeah.
That gave me something, a nugget of, it gave me a thought, but we'll get to that. So I don't know that I had a rock bottom moment. I just knew that my daughters weren't babies anymore.
Yeah.
And that they could see and they could understand, and that I didn't want to prolong any type of negative exposure.
Sure.
The way that I feel about myself is very recent.
Yeah.
I think that there were thoughts and there were things that I knew intellectually, but the motivation and the drive to be like, I'm gonna, it wasn't, because I just thought I would, no.
Yeah.
That's just the honest truth.
Well, we all have our reasons for going down different paths, and I think it's really valuable that your daughters were the thing that made you want to take that journey and that you saw the value in what you were modeling. I think that's something that's really admirable and honorable. So kudos to you, ma'am. Don't you dare start crying.
I'm not gonna cry.
I saw that lip quiver.
No, no, because I was thinking, you know, I feel like trauma can push us in one of two ways, right? It can push us to mirror what we dealt with, or it can push us to love the way we wish that we were loved.
Yes.
Right? And through my childhood and through my trauma, I never felt like I was enough. Mm. So for me, I wanted, as a mother, my children to know that no matter what I had to sacrifice, they are enough.
Yeah.
For that sacrifice.
Yeah.
So it was because it was the little girl in me that connects to my little girls that's like, no, you're enough, you're enough, you're enough, for me to let this go or walk away from this, because I felt like if I had put my own needs mm-hmm. ahead of theirs, then it would have shown them or given them the message that they weren't enough for me to
yeah.
make that sacrifice.
Yeah.
And I know that anyone who may be a parent, or that may sound like, well, of course you did. But when you are traumatized, your brain does not always operate like that. And it is very easy. And that's why I'm speaking to both sides, because there's no judgment, right? Because if you've been through seeing certain things, then you may hold on to a relationship, or you may hold on to a marriage, or you may hold on to a person. And I am also guilty of holding on to things too long. So I understand that. So there's absolutely no judgment in that. I know that it's easy to go one way or the other. So thank you. I appreciate you highlighting that. But for me, it was always the polar opposite of what I went through intentionally.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't always, I don't want to say it wasn't intentionally. It was intentionally, but it wasn't always like consciously.
Sure.
It was like the sheer fact of being a mother and having these little people as my responsibility changed how I moved through life.
Mm-hmm.
Made tons of mistakes. Dropped the ball many times. But them, having them, kind of forced me into making decisions that I know weren't a reflection of how I felt about myself.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is my love for them for a long time came before my love for myself.
Mm. Yeah, you know, one thing that I have found that is really interesting through my therapy adventures is the ways that I have not loved myself, which were unconscious. And it's because,
it's like ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, because we're on these loops. We're on autopilot. You know, it's kind of like we have this subconscious mind that's driving our behaviors, whether we realize it or not. And we think that our conscious mind is in charge a lot of times, but it's actually the subconscious that's driving the ship, right?
Can I stop you?
Yes, go right ahead.
No, keep going. But are you staying there?
We can evolve from that.
Stay there because I have something to
say. Okay. We're going to stay there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to really think about what's the narrative that you tell yourself. Like, how do you identify the subconscious loop? And that's one of the things that I had to learn how to do.
Do you guys see the trend here? See my people. We all speak the same language. My people, we speak the same language.
We do.
Yes, we speak. People speak the same language.
Yeah. So yes. That subconscious loop, you start identifying that by the speak that's in your head. Like, what is it that you say about yourself whenever you're in a situation? If you make a mistake and you're like, God, stupid. You call yourself stupid. Like, how do you talk to yourself?
But okay.
Go!
Such a bad co-host.
Go.
Okay, so you can tell I'm used to doing my shit
She's
by myself.
Excited.
I'm like,
gotta jump in.
There's so much. Okay. Okay. I want to get deep, but I want to keep it simple, right? Because like I said on the last episode, shout out to Precious and what she has taught me. About most things being as simple as they are complex, right? Mm-hmm. So the subconscious mind as an entire concept is complex, right? The way we work and our brains work as humans is very simple.
Yes, it's true.
So we take on beliefs based on things that happen to us from age 0 to 7. This is when our subconscious mind
the most formative
is formed.
Years.
Right. Mm-hmm. 0 from birth to age 7, everything that we think about ourselves is formed, right? If you say, oops, I dropped this, I'm stupid, it's because somewhere along in those years, you took on that belief, or maybe it happened later on, but when we're talking about the subconscious, and again, subconscious, so it's not active. You're not actively like, I am stupid because I fell off my bike when I was 5 years old and my father told me that I was clumsy and I would never amount to anything. You're not able all the time to make those connections.
Right.
Right? But you think that you're stupid because of a subconscious belief. There is a belief somewhere in your subconscious mind that says that you somehow are inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you make even the slightest mistake, it causes you to attack yourself because of that belief in your subconscious mind.
Yes, and to piggyback on that, those beliefs that are formed that early in life can cause you to be more susceptible to messaging throughout your life as you get older that verifies that information.
Because...
I love it.
This is me. This is my lane. I have goosebumps right now. Like... talk about this shit because Lisa, this is literally what changed everything for me.
Yeah.
When I was able, because of my analytical Virgo brain, to understand it just kind of in a textbook way, because I felt like for so many years it was always about my emotions and my feelings and my emotions and my feelings, that I was just like, let me really process this in a more logical way. And then I realized that it's our thoughts that control our feelings. Hold that.
Oh!
Go back to
now. I'm getting chills because feelings, emotions, are information. Emotions are information about beliefs that you have about yourself. They're beliefs about how you see the world. It's something that you should just look at like information. It's indicators of things that you should be paying attention to, or things that maybe you are feeling about yourself that you haven't brought to the surface yet. So there's a lot that's packed up into the emotions, but the thoughts that you have are exactly what drives your emotions. And the subconscious thoughts have so much more power over your feelings than you realize.
Right.
Feedback loops from hell.
So, because most of us, and I have so much, I'm trying to make sure that I'm in my mind, I'm keeping this in order because I do have a lot that I want to say. Because we, most of us believe that our external worlds dictate how we feel about ourselves, right? We believe that if we just had more money, if we just had the perfect marriage, if we could just go on vacation, if the credit score was here, if we drove this type of car, we put all of our weight, our emotional weight and wellness on the ideal external life, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. What we don't realize is that our thoughts create
boom
our external life.
Come on.
Right? I am saying that I started to really look at my life holistically and look at all of the things that I felt like were causing me to be down on myself, were causing me to feel badly about myself. And then I started to pay attention to my thoughts. If you take nothing away from this episode, pay attention to your thoughts. Literally, just sit with yourself. Mm-hmm. Like Lisa said, when some of us make mistakes, it's so common for us to say certain things to ourselves that we don't even realize. Like that we call ourselves dumb, or that we call ourselves stupid, or that we walk past the mirror and we say that we're fat, or we're ugly, or we're this, or we're not, we're that, we're too skinny, or whatever. We don't even really think that we could pay attention to those things. We think that our thoughts are us, and they're not. They are not. You think that that's a fact. It's not. It's not. You don't have to accept it as a fact. You can. No, that's not true. Whatever. Or you can just start to listen to whatever that narrative is, like mm-hmm. Lisa was saying. The subconscious mind is, I like to think about it like this. It is your, like your little, like your genie, basically. Like it is really there to answer whatever it does not know. Again, like I said on the last episode, the difference between what is false and what is real. Mm-hmm. It only knows what you tell it. So in understanding that, it's going to give you evidence in your life of what is going on back there. And I point to the back because that's where it is in your brain. So it's going to give you evidence. It's called something, and I can't think of the psychological term for it right now. I'll look it up and I'll put it in the description because it's a real thing. This is all science. I didn't make this up. It gives you evidence, right, on what you focus on, right? Like think about, like we've all been like thinking about like a car, right? Like, oh my God, this car is so beautiful. So you're like, I want a white. Then you see them everywhere. White BMWs, or you see, and it's like, it's because your subconscious mind is like, oh, that's important. She mm-hmm. focuses on that a lot. Evidence, evidence, evidence. Look it up. It's how it works. Reticular something system. I'm gonna put it in there because it's a real thing. So yes, your life is a reflection of your thoughts. Thoughts become things. Episode 6.
I love it. I love the callback to
yes.
the episode. Thoughts do become things.
I'm like sweating. This is how, feel me. Like I am like hot, like my back, because this is the concept of the subconscious mind. It's what changed my entire life.
I get really excited about it too, because it's the thing that changed my life as well. Like it's the thing that has the power to change everybody's life, everybody's existence, the way that you function in the world. And it determines how successful your relationships will be. It determines how successful you can be in work, because what you believe about yourself, what you believe about the world around you will manifest itself because you're willing it to come to you. Oh, you found it.
It's called the reticular activating system.
Reticular activating system. Mm-hmm. I never heard that term before. Mm-hmm.
So it's basically the track between your subconscious mind and your conscious mind.
Yeah.
So you know, we've heard the concept of what we focus on expands, mm-hmm. right? So I tell people all the time, I use this analogy. If you want something to go away, starve it.
Yes.
If you don't feed it, it's going to what?
It's going to die.
Nothing that is not eating can exist. So if you give it food, energy, talk, posts on social media, phone calls, text messages, it's going to grow.
Yes.
But if you starve it, it's going to die. So anything that you want to not live or exist in your life, ignore it. Don't give in. I'm broke. I don't have a man. I don't say that out of your mouth, because what you're saying is, I want more evidence of this. Give me more. Give me more, because you're focusing on it. So your brain is saying, oh, this is important to us, to her. Okay. Lack of money. Let's give her more of that, because that's what she talks about. Oh, okay. Sleeplessness, anxiety, depression. Yes, she focuses on that more, because again, it doesn't know good and bad and right and wrong. It just knows whatever you focus on, it's going to give you evidence of it. So if you want, that's why affirmations are so powerful, because all your brain is like, oh, love, love, love. She talks about love, love, give her love, friendship, people in the grocery store, just put more love in her existence, because that is what she is focusing on.
Yeah, and I would actually take that a step further, because if you start to shift the focus, like if you have an obsessive thought about something that you're trying to get past, sometimes ignoring it isn't necessarily powerful enough for you to be able to move past it. You have to replace the thought with something else. And so it's like...
Give an example.
So you go through a breakup. I went through a breakup this year that became weirdly obsessive for me. And so I would have these thoughts that just would not stop about what was failing in the relationship, and like it was just this loop that wouldn't stop. And so I got to the point where I was like, anytime a thought would come in and I would be like, I failed in this way, I would change the thought. I'd be like, I had no other choice. This was the way that it was meant to be. And so I started replacing the thought, and I started being a lot kinder to myself, because I went from beating myself up through these feedback loops and to being like more kind and loving towards myself. The same goes for anything else in your life. It's like, if we're talking about money, it's like, oh, I'm so broke. You change the thought. It's like, I am so thankful for the abundance, because it goes into those affirmations that you're talking about. I am so thankful for the abundance in my life. And you speak about it as if it already exists, because it will tell your mind that it already exists, and you start operating in the way that it is already here with you. And as long as you're doing that, that's what you're calling in. I've been doing that fairly recently, and look, I just booked a whole bunch of stuff and that's just the way it goes, though. It's like you call things into your life, whether you realize it or not. And if you're focused on the things that are not going right in your life, then you're calling more of that into your life.
Without even realizing it, because we do not truly, truly take a hold of the power that we have in us based on our words and our brain. Well, mm-hmm. Our brain gives us those words and the things that we say. I saw something the other day, and I don't want to misquote it, but I believe the percentage that he said was that if you say something negative out of your mouth, it's 40 to 70% more likely to happen. So negative thoughts alone are powerful, but if you speak it out of your mouth, then you increase the probability of that thing materializing in one way or another. Oh my goodness, I just, you know, I hope I don't go out here and get in a car accident.
Yeah.
Like, and we think that it's so like blasé, and we just say things and we don't realize that words literally have power. And I'm saying this because I have seen the evidence of things that I have said, because our words are just, they start as thoughts, right? You think it, then you say it. So it would just be stuff that I was like, oh, well, whatever. Well, and I thought, well, this was how life has been going, so I'm just speaking the truth. Mm-hmm. And that may be, right? But if I don't want this thing to continue to exist, something has to shift in the dynamic of how I'm talking to myself.
Yes.
How I'm treating myself.
Yes.
Of the things that I'm doing, something has to change, because I knew from my life this wasn't working. So what else can happen, right? And then if we're going back to age 0 to 7 and the subconscious brain forming. I'm gonna be 40 next month. That's 30. How many? Math is not my ministry. 30.
That's not my ministry.
33. How many years is that? 33 years. Let's say in theory, that's 33 years that I have been carrying certain beliefs. Mm-hmm. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. They're not going to accept me. They're not going to want me. Blah, 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 blah. So what I have seen is evidence throughout the course of all of these years based on that belief system. Let's just say, for example, I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to write the book. I don't want to record the podcast because subconsciously I did not believe that I was enough.
Yeah.
Well, Shante, why are the episodes so sparse? Because I had to realize that I am enough and I don't have to, it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be this. And I don't have to worry about who's, you know, again, this is recently me coming to the truth within me that was like, okay, you didn't want to show up for yourself because somewhere deep in there, you didn't feel like you were worthy of the show up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there are so many places I can point to in my life where I mean, I've talked about it on the show, not being comfortable with being supported. Why? Because I felt like a burden. Not, you know, like it was always somehow tied to my inadequacy mm-hmm. in some type of way.
Yeah.
So when I started to affirm and to truly just, I'm enough. And the subconscious brain responds to repetition. So anything that you say, most times you've said it.
In fact,
we think about 70,000 thoughts a day. 90% of them are repetitive,
mm-hmm.
meaning that every day we go through the day and we say the same things to ourselves over and over. So in order to reprogram that, you have to repeat over and over and over and over. That's how your subconscious mind grabs a hold of whatever this new thought is or this new, because affirmations are just thoughts,
yeah.
whatever this new concept is, you know, I'm wealthy. If you've been, I'm broke for 33 years, then it might take a little bit of time for I am wealthy to replace I'm broke. But if you keep saying it, it will. And I know that may sound woo-woo, but I promise you, just Google. This didn't start with me. I just know what has helped and what has changed my life. But go back to what you were saying about self-love being tied to how we speak to ourselves, because that is powerful.
Well, yeah, it is directly tied to how we speak to ourselves, because as we're discussing this, it's like the feedback loop is the thing that really is our identity. And it's how we choose to show up in the world, because it's how we have been programmed to show up in the world. Now, to your point of the affirmations and telling yourself different things, we're replacing thoughts, right? Like we're replacing statements that we're saying to ourselves. So there's a book that I read a couple of years ago called Switch on Your Brain. It's by Dr. Caroline Leaf. And it talks about the scientific aspects. You're fixing your hair on camera, this girl. There's the science behind how your brain actually changes. Like it physically changes as you are developing new thoughts. If you look at brain scans over time, it looks like trees. And so you look
at it.
It's
called neuroplasticity.
That's the word right there. And that whole book is about neuroplasticity and how as you start to choose new thoughts to replace the old thoughts, you are literally rehardwiring your brain. So it's not lost. Mm-hmm. You're not a lost cause if you have these loops that you just can't get out of. It just takes time and reprogramming so that you'll start showing up different and you can start loving yourself differently. And you also have to get like better at knowing yourself and you have to start recognizing where you are allowing there to be cracks in the foundation. And look, a lot of this stuff is unconscious, so you can't blame yourself. If you go in with blame and shame, you're not gonna win. If you wanna win, you have to look at it like this is an observation back to you are not your mind, you are the observer of your mind. That's In the Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. These are books that you should all read because they will take you to a whole different place of thinking. Mm-hmm. But you have to separate yourself, the entity of Lisa, the entity of Shantae, who we are. We are separate of our mind, and we're actually in charge of our mind. Mm-hmm. The mind is not meant to rule you. You are meant to rule the mind.
That's it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so we have to pretty much bring it into submission by acknowledging that we don't have to be reactive to mm-hmm. every thought. We don't mm-hmm. have to be reactive to every emotion. And listen, I'm a hothead, so I will pop off whenever.
She's an Aries, you guys.
I'm a triple Aries.
She is the sweetest firecracker you'll ever meet.
I love
she
that.
She is the most loving volcano I've ever come into contact with. That's, I mean, hot like lava, but a heart the size of Pluto.
These are brand statements. She doesn't understand. She just gave me a couple of brand statements. You'll see that in my Instagram bio tomorrow.
It's okay. It's all right. You can use it. Yeah,
you can have it.
I love you enough. Anybody else, I would have to. You can have it. Yes.
It's so good. But you do have the power to reprogram things. And so that's one of the things I like to give action steps about how you can start taking small steps. Because I believe that you can't focus on the whole. Like, you have to have an idea of where you're going. So there needs to be a bit of a roadmap. But you don't need to be too strict in how you get there and give yourself grace along the way. Because if you're not giving yourself grace, then comes the blame and shame.
Oh wait, it's on this side.
She has a tattoo.
But that is a great place to start, because if you start in the moments where you're not your best, right? The moments where you make a mistake, the moments where you miss the mark. What do you say to yourself in those moments? For me, what changed the game for me and what really, really clued me into the fact that I did not love myself was how I spoke to myself.
Back to what we were saying earlier. Yeah.
And I would hear over and over from my therapist, that you should speak to yourself like you speak to a good friend, and you should talk to yourself like you would talk to somebody you love. And when I really stopped and I was like, that's not what I would say to Lisa. That's not what I would say to somebody I love. I wouldn't tell them, just go harder and just be stronger and you're just this and you just need to toughen up and tighten up, and if you just ate better and if you just exercised more. Like, that's not how I would talk to my friends. So how was I comfortable speaking like that to myself? And I came from a background where everything was reinforced through punishment and through criticism and correction. So that's how I dealt with myself.
Yeah.
But that wasn't love. And it wasn't beneficial. Because when you beat something down, it's not, that doesn't make me want to be like, yes, now I need to go run 3 miles. Like, it was in the compassion and it was in the grace that I found what I needed to get myself on the right track.
Yeah.
So when I say that self-love is rudely brave, you see the shirt. The word rudely is intentional, because it's radical. It's intentional. It's one of those things where when you finally get it, you're like, I'm not apologizing for this.
Yeah.
Like, I am first. And I think that while self-love and all of its buzzworthiness and everywhere it's posted on social media, we throw it around, but most people honestly do not know what it is for real.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh gosh, like, look how you talk to yourself. Like, look how mean you are to yourself. Like, and that for me was how I rectified it.
Yeah.
Yes, the affirmations and the subconscious programming, reprogramming, and all those things. But just the small moments where I would stop and be like, nope, you did the best that you could. You are enough. That is enough. You showed up and you gave what you could. Perfection is not necessary. You are enough. So I had to, like, or it's like, yeah, well, you made a mistake. You're a human being and that's okay. You still deserve grace. Like, I had to, like, give myself permission to be that person for myself. Yeah. And it does feel weird at first, because you're like, am I, like, talking to my... But like Lisa said, you are the one guiding the ship. Your brain is the ship. You're the captain. So you don't have to be like, the ship is just going... You have to steer and control it. And I was literally having internal conversations with myself that made it okay for me to be and to feel and to embrace compassion the same way I would with her, or the same way I would with anybody else. And not even just people I love. Like, that's just who I am. Like, externally, I just had to learn that it was okay to take that same energy and pour it into myself.
Yeah. It's like that airplane analogy. You have to put the air mask on yourself before you can put it on anybody else. We have to take care of ourselves before we are any good to anybody else. And that's something that I think a lot of people forget. And we end up bleeding for everyone, but nobody is bleeding for us in return, especially mothers. I know that that's something that mothers really, really struggle with. I'm not a mother, so I can't say that that's something that I've experienced in that world, but it's so important to make sure that you are solid and you are whole.
I realized at almost 40, right? I realized that there are so many things that sound good in theory that people don't practice.
Right.
And again, there's no judgment, because we hear things, we hear it over and over, and it just becomes this cliche thing that we hear, but a lot of us have not put it into practice in our own lives. And there were so many things that I could rattle off, even on this podcast, that I could rattle off and I could just talk about. But when I really sat with myself over the last few months or so, I was like, I'm not living that. And I don't want to come on this show and be a hypocrite. Like, I want to, not that it wasn't true. Everything that I was saying, everything that I was saying was fact-based. It was my experience and, you know, what I felt, and it was, but I wanted to be first partaker of the things that I was sharing with my audience, right? Like, if I'm telling you that I journal almost every day, y'all, they know it was a battle.
I love it.
It was a battle. Almost every day!
But okay. That's something that is hard for a lot of people.
I fought for years.
Yeah.
For years, y'all. Almost every day. I told them. I was like, I'm going to start. I had been, yes. Yeah. So this, what I realized was my show became, like, it forced me into healing when I didn't even really think that that's what I wanted to do. I wasn't intending to work on myself. But in doing this show and coming from the, like, very real space that I had to address my own shit. And when I sat with myself, I realized there was a lot that was going on in there and back there. So I had to, like, really address what the f*** was going on. I'm sorry. Lisa is very well put together, you guys. I gotta come in. She is very poised. I am not. I am probably rough around the edges. I am a girl from Jersey. Okay? So, when I sat in that raw honesty, that's where the change was able to come. I was like, okay, yeah, I see exactly what I need to address. And again, these things that sound so good need to not only be good in theory.
Yeah.
So I had to start practicing.
Yeah.
And I do, y'all. I've been meditating and shit.
Yes! That's my girl! I'm so proud. Like, meditation is really the thing that changed my life.
Oh, talk about it.
Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you a story about... I have this friend, Wendy, who is... just so connected
also
to spirit.
Stunning. All of her friends are stunning.
Including you, beauty queen.
Thank you.
Yes. So Wendy is one of my solid rock spiritual.
She's right there on the wall.
She is on the wall. Spiritual rocks, you know? And during the season of my life, whenever I was starting to lose my marriage, I would ask her, because she would say things like, God told me this, God told me that, God told me this, going to, and I got so frustrated, because I was like, I grew up in the church. I grew up in the space.
Why God don't talk to me?
Why is God not talking to me? Why don't I hear God talking. Like, I don't understand why I'm feeling left out of this party. What's happening? And so she said to me one day, she was like, just get really still, get really quiet, and wait for him to show up. Tell him you are not leaving that space until he shows up. Girl, I kid you not. This is the first time I've ever told this publicly. People might think I'm cuckoo bananas. But I laid in my floor, my bedroom floor, at the foot of our bed while my husband slept. And I just did the whole, like, I'm laying prostrate out in the floor, like, starfished. And it was pitch black. And I just said, okay, I need to feel your presence. I need to see you. I need to know that you're real. Like, I've believed this my whole life. I have not experienced you, though. Like, what is it like to experience an encounter with the Creator? And I laid there for probably a half hour. Who even knows? Nothing happening. And I'm just hearing these thoughts come and go. And this was the first point in my life when I was like, interesting thought. Interesting thought. But as the thoughts started going away, I didn't realize that I was meditating. And so as these thoughts started coming and going, and I just acknowledged them, and I didn't judge them, because what I was waiting on was an encounter with my Creator. And so, Holy was like Casper the Friendly Ghost. I'm laying there. It's like somebody turned the lights on. I'm thinking my husband got up and turned the lights on. He's interrupting my flow. And my eyes are closed, and I swear to goodness, it was like God floated up above me and smiled and said hi, and poof, gone. But it was like the lights turned on and everything was so bright, and then it went back to dark. I sat straight up and I was like, whoa, what just happened? I think I just saw God for the first time. And from that point forward, I had this barometer, so to speak, of how I was able to go in and just drop myself into that quiet space. And eventually I learned that I had dropped into a meditative space that is kind of like hypnosis. So it's a version of hypnotherapy where the subconscious mind comes forward. You start to acknowledge things that are back there that you didn't even know were back there. I have found things about myself in meditation that I had no idea that I was struggling with. I found my writing block in a meditation because I wasn't even looking for that. I was doing like inner child work. And I had this moment where I had dropped in so deep into the meditation that it was definitely hypnotic. And I had this moment that replayed like it was a movie in my mind in the fifth grade when my grandmother was my teacher and we had a writing assignment. Mm-hmm. And I wrote this paper and I was so proud of it because I was like, I want to be a writer. I want to be this artist. I'm this creator. And she was giving us the opportunity to have our papers read in front of the class. And I'm like, me, grandma, read my paper. I'm so excited. But she was so pointed in the way that she picked out all of my mistakes and called them out in a way that was so humiliating for my little fifth grader mind that I just, at that point moving forward, I didn't feel like I was capable of writing or completing my thoughts. It was this revelation that I was not expecting and was not looking for, but it was a core memory that basically told me that I wasn't a good writer. Mm. And that was my writing block. Isn't that wild? So wild. So it's amazing what can come forward in meditation. It's amazing what you can experience in that space and how it gives you information about the beliefs that you have and where they were formed. So that's one of those memories that came after the age of 7. And so this is one of those things. It's like you can have these memories that like drop into your mind after those formative years.
Right.
But the ones that really drive and kind of like create who you are, they happen in that 0 to 7. Yeah. But then after that, I think it's up to like 13 or 14 that you still can get a lot of things that are dropped in that really do like create this narrative of how you show up in the world.
Mm-hmm. You attach mm-hmm. yourself to that thought.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not going to write because it's not going to be good enough. It's right. not, you know, so, right. Meditation, I feel like, is one of those things where it's very personal. So mm-hmm. I would encourage the listeners just to do their own research mm-hmm. on it. But what I will say is that it, especially for people who have been through trauma, it regulates the nervous system.
Yes.
And that is where I have found the benefit of it or with it. But how you do it, you know, where you do it, how often you do it, those are very, very personal choices. Mm-hmm. But meditation as a whole, Yeah, and I don't meditate as often as I journal, but it is one of those things where it's just an amazing practice.
Yeah, yeah, agreed. But journaling is also an amazing practice because it allows you to get your thoughts out on paper. So if you do this thing called morning pages, where you just sit and you write whatever's coming to your mind for the like 3 pages, it's in this book called The Artist's Way that, you know, us creatives go through sometimes.
I'm creative.
You are creative.
Oh.
Yeah. So this is a 12-week course that you go through, but it's a book. I have it on my bookshelf. I'll share it with you. But basically it tells you to write these morning pages, and it's like, it can be, I am tired today, I don't like how I slept, my neck hurts, and I am irritated that I have to go here. Well, it's just this brain dump, and it's to get your thoughts that are on repeat out, so they're on paper and you just kind of like get them out so you can move on with your day. But it shows you what's in your subconscious, or it shows you where your blocks are. It's really great. Another excellent practice. So
yeah, I have taken the guesswork out of journaling, because I used to just think it was like, dear diary, today I don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I write out affirmations. Actually, most of the time, I'm writing out affirmations.
Yeah.
That is what journaling has become for me. Mm-hmm. Or if I am struggling emotionally, I will write a letter of encouragement to myself.
I love that.
I do that very, very often. I use it as a means when sometimes I can't find that cheerleader in my head. I can't find that voice that's like, it's okay, you know, that voice of compassion. I'll use writing as a means to be like, well, today is a hard day, but it's okay. You still blah, 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 blah. And I'll just start with the affirming and the affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I had to find kind of what works for me. Everybody has like a different way of journaling. Again, it's something that's incredibly personal. And it should be, but it doesn't have to look like this, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, and for me, I was just overthinking it.
Yeah.
Which, no shock. I've overthought a lot of things. I am much better with understanding that my thoughts don't have to ruminate, and I don't have to overthink and overanalyze and just worry and anxiety, right? It's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what I have found to help is really paying attention to what my brain is doing and taking hold of those thoughts and shifting them, redirecting.
Yeah.
You know, not just allowing that energy to exist and take me to spiral. And I still have moments.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I still have moments. Every day is not a good day. Today started out shitty, but I knew this was happening and it needed to happen, and I was really excited about it. So I don't expect that every day is going to be a good day, because we're in a human experience.
Yes.
Every day is not going to be a good day, but I have way more better good days.
I was going to pivot because I don't want us to go too long on time. We can talk forever.
Welcome to the 6-hour episode.
I know.
Like,
So I tend to always ask my guests, so I'm going to ask you, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received? Love to share advice on this show.
I don't know if it was advice or if it was... if it was information, when I realized that my relationships with everybody in my life would be dictated upon the relationship that I had with myself, everything changed. When I gave myself permission, or when I accepted that loving myself and putting myself first would mean that things would be better for me externally, everything changed.
I saw a piece of advice the other day. It was on the Jay Shetty podcast.
And he's awesome.
He's so great. And he asked his guest, well, I can't remember the guy's name, but he asked his guest, what's the best piece of advice you ever received? And he said, what if it turns out better than you can imagine? And he said, okay, what's the worst piece of advice you ever received? And then he said, be realistic. And I was like, literally took my breath.
That right there.
Right?
Ooh, that's a whole episode.
That's a whole episode.
Don't be realistic, people. Be delusional.
Be delusional. I think that was the name of that podcast. I was going to actually be delusional. Yes.
Don't be realistic.
Yeah, because back to, like, be realistic. That's something that you're telling yourself that your brain is going to grab onto, and then you're going to find evidence of that belief system of, oh, I need to be realistic. So my
dream. And you limit, and you subconsciously limit yourself mm-hmm. because you believe that there's a ceiling. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, well, I just jump this high because that's really as far as I can go. And it's like, no, again, cliche, sky is the limit. No, what if I think this big?
Yeah.
So if I come here, then that's still higher than, you know, so it's, no, don't be realistic, people. Be delusional.
I'm here for this.
Yep.
Okay, now, these shirts are on sale on Shantae's website. It's taystidbits.com. And it says, self-love is rudely brave. And I agree, self-love is rudely brave.
I hope that someone listening chooses themselves today.
Yeah.
I hope that you feel empowered and encouraged to know that you alone are enough. And yes, you may be a mother, you may be a wife, you may be an employee, you may be a friend, but outside of all of those things, your existence is enough. Mm-hmm. And the love that you think is supposed to come from other people was always supposed to be you giving it to you. So make the choice. Self-love is rudely brave. Rudely. It's brave. It is brave. But you deserve it.
That's a mic drop moment right there. Okay.
Did friends. I survive?
You survived. I'm going to do a close. All right, so I would be so honored if all of you guys checked out Shantae's show, Tay's Tidbits. It is a self-love journey, and she is an advocate for self-love in the best kind of way, and her story is so spectacular. So listening to her speak and share all of her wisdom is always a good idea. Now, I hope that you will continue listening, and if you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a review, like a 5-star review. We like 5 stars, and written reviews help because we'd like to get up our ratings. So Taste Tidbits and the In Session Podcast.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah, of course.
It's been a pleasure.
We love you guys.
Love you guys. Until next time, do no harm, but take no shit.
Oh. Peace.